America in Mandarin.
这里是美国之音的中文广播，现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
各位听众您好，欢迎您收听美国之音在2018年5月28号在美国东岸时间早上五点，也就是北京时间下午五点，从美国首都华盛顿开始的中文广播。首先播报国际新闻。美国国务院周日证实，美国官员正在板门店与朝鲜官员会面，讨论美国总统川普与朝鲜领导人金正恩可能举行的峰会。川普周日发表推文说，我真的相信朝鲜很有潜力，有朝一日将成为一个拥有强大经济和金融的国家。金正恩赞同我这个看法，这将会发生。美国驻菲律宾大使和前驻韩国大使金城领导美国代表团从事准备性的会谈。有报道说，预计这次会议持续到周二。川普上星期四宣布，他正在退出预计6月12日在新加坡举行的峰会，但是在星期五，他表示峰会可能会恢复。星期五早上，在前往海军官校参加毕业典礼之前，川普总统在白宫草坪上告诉记者，我们将看看会发生什么事，甚至可能还是在6月12号。我们正在跟他们讨论，他们很想要会面，我们也想要。我们将看看会发生什么事，大家都在玩手段。周六，他说关于潜在峰会的对话进行得非常好。朝鲜国营媒体星期六晚间报道说，朝鲜领导人金正恩对与美国总统川普在新加坡举行峰会问题上意志坚决。金正恩星期六下午在韩朝之间军事戒备森严的边界地区同韩国总统文在寅举行会谈。韩国总统府青瓦台表示，两国领导人就如何准备朝鲜与美国总统川普可能举行的峰会交换了意见。会议后，韩国总统文在寅情绪高昂，他在描述星期六与金正恩的这次会晤时说，就像是朋友之间普通的接触。金正恩仍然致力于去核化，他说金正恩对他来说不确定的不是他去核化的意愿，而是美国与朝鲜敌对关系上的立场，以及美国是否能够真正确保他政权的安全。两艘美国海军舰只星期天在中国声称拥有主权的南中国海岛屿附近执行自由航行任务，中国当局坚决反对美国的这个行动。路透社援引来自美军官员的消息独家报道说，美军希金斯号导弹驱逐舰和安提坦号导弹巡洋舰当天驶入了西沙群岛多个有争议的岛屿12海里以内，并在中建岛、永兴岛附近进行了机动训练。没有透露姓名的美国官员说，这次航行是几个月前就已经计划好的，但是在美中两国贸易纠纷还没有化解，美国与中国合作解决朝鲜问题之际，这个被中国认为是挑战主权之举，可能会再次触怒北京。在北京，中国国防部发言人吴谦星期天说，这两艘美国军舰未经中国政府允许擅自进入中国西沙群岛领海。中国加紧在南中国海的军事化行动，与此同时，抵抗中国军事化行为的各种力量正在增强，并可能在即将召开的年度香格里拉亚洲安全对话上得以凝聚，形成一股更大的力量对抗北京。中国不顾2016年一个国际仲裁庭的判决，不顾国际社会的普遍批评，在主权有争议的南中国海岛岛礁上大规模的填海造地，之后继续军事化行动。澳大利亚外长毕晓普星期一在河内访问，并且与越南副总理兼外长范平明启动了澳越外交部长级会议的首轮会议。澳越外交部长级会议是两国政府首脑今年三月确定的澳越战略伙伴关系中一个制度化的沟通平台。这一次布晓普在启程访问前对越南通讯社表示，澳越两国将通过防务与安全等合作发展和平。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate-level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程，课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主。通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，第一课的题目是住店登记第四部分，着重讲怎样澄清问题。今天接受采访的人是史杰饭店的接待员 Marsha Waters 女士。
Last week, we talked with Charles Blake about a business trip he took to the United States last year. As you recall, Mr. Blake works for International Robotics, a Chinese company. Mr. Blake went to San Francisco to meet with Michael Epstein of Advanced Technologies. While Mr. Blake was in San Francisco, he stayed at the Embassy Suites Hotel. Last week, we heard a recording of Mr. Blake's conversation with the receptionists at the Embassy Suites Hotel. Today, we will talk with the Embassy Suites receptionist, Ms. Marsha Waters.Welcome to Functioning in Business, Ms. Waters.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Please call me Marsha.
Okay, Marsha. Tell me, Marsha, have you worked at the Embassy Suites for a long time?
I've been there about 5 years.
And you work at the reception desk, isn't that right?
Yes. I register the new guests, and I help guests who have questions or problems.
Oh, what kinds of problems?
Well, for example, sometimes people need help operating the TV. If they're having trouble...I send someone to their room to help them. Or sometimes people want to change rooms. We had one person who was in a non-smoking room and wanted to change to a smoking room. We couldn't give him a smoking room because there were none available. Then we found out that the person was smoking in the hallway, and that's not allowed.
So what happened?
We had to explain that he could only smoke in designated areas. Then, the next day, we were able to move him to a different room.
Marsha, can you tell our listeners what kinds of services you offer at the Embassy Suites?
Well, one important service we offer is a business center. Our business guests can go to the business center to type letters or send faxes. We also have an internet connection so that they can read their email.
How convenient! What other services do you offer?
We have a great fitness center with a sauna and a jacuzzi.
That sounds like fun.
We also have room service, of course.Many of our business guests like to eat in their rooms so that they can have more time to prepare for meetings.
They work while they eat dinner?
Yes, some people do. I guess they find it easier than going out to a restaurant.
Thank you very much for joining us, Ms. Waters.
It's my pleasure.
We'll be back after a short break. Welcome back, everyone. We're here once again with Gary Engleton, our expert on business and culture.
Hello, everyone. How are you today, Elizabeth?
Very well, thank you, Gary. I'm glad that you're here because we have a very important email question on hotel charges.
Really? What is it?
One of our listeners writes, "Sometimes my hotel bill is larger than I expected." In the United States, what extra charges are there in hotels?
That's an excellent question.When you are staying in a hotel, it's a good idea to ask a lot of questions about what is free and what has an extra charge. Extra charges are sometimes called surcharges. They are becoming more and more frequent.
How do you find out about these extra charges?
The first thing that you should do is to look around the room for something written down. For example, there is sometimes information near the telephone about charges for local and long-distance calls.If you can't find anything in writing, you should definitely ask at the front desk.
That's a good idea. What other kinds of extra charges are there?
Well, for example, many hotels have drinks and snacks in small refrigerators. These are not free. Make sure you know how much everything costs before you drink or eat anything. And you can have food brought to your room. That's called room service. It is usually fairly expensive.Look for a menu in the room that lists the prices.
Are there any other surcharges to be careful of?
Well, some hotels offer movies in your room for an extra charge. And remember, tax will usually be added to the room charge. In some U.S. cities, this tax can be 15% or even more. Well, I think that I've covered most of the extra charges. Other facilities like swimming pools, exercise equipment, and even daily newspapers are usually free.
Thanks, Gary. That was extremely helpful.
Good evening. May I help you?
Yes, my name is Allison Peters. I have a reservation.
Let me take a look. Yes, I see you have a room reserved through April 4th.
Actually, I'll be leaving on the morning of the 5th.
Oh, really? I thought you told us you would be checking out on the 4th.
No, I believe I said I would be checking out on the 5th. Let me check my confirmation notice. Here it is. Oh, my goodness, you're right. Can I extend my stay through the 5th?
That's not a problem. I'll change your reservation for you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Gary 提示。
Welcome back. It's time for Gary's tips. What's your topic for today, Gary?
Today, I'll be talking about clarifications. Last week, we talked about the importance of confirming information, especially information about plane and hotel reservations. It's important to confirm because sometimes a hotel clerk or a travel agent might have incorrect information. If you disagree with what the clerk or agent says, there are some polite ways to correct the person. This is called making a clarification. One way to begin a clarification is to use the word actually. Let's listen again to part of the business dialogue. You'll hear Ms. Peters clarifying that she is staying through April 5th.
Good evening. May I help you?
Yes, my name is Allison Peters. I have a reservation.
Let me take a look. Yes, I see you have a room reserved through April 4th.
Actually, I'll be leaving on the morning of the 5th.
Another polite way to make a clarification is to say, I believe. Let's listen again to the business dialogue. Ms. Peters clarifies that she will be checking out on the 6th.
Yes, I see you have a room reserved through April 4th.
Actually, I'll be leaving on the morning of the 5th.
Oh, really? I thought you told us you would be checking out on the 4th.
No, I believe I said I would be checking out on the 5th.
It turns out Ms. Peters is wrong about the dates of her reservation. But by being polite, Ms. Peters maintains a good relationship with the desk clerk and is able to change her reservation. So remember, it's important to correct people if they have the wrong information about your reservations. But it's best to be polite when you make a clarification. Well, that's all we have time for today on Gary's Tips.
本星期第二课的题目是住店登记第五部分，重点讲解怎样客气地向别人提出要求。首先请听电话采访。
Last week, we heard part of a conversation between Charles Blake and the hotel receptionist at the Embassy Suites Hotel. Today, we'll be hearing the rest of the conversation during Mr. Blake's check-in. I have Mr. Blake on the phone. Hello, Charles.
Hello, Elizabeth.
How are you doing?
Just fine.
Last week, we listened in while you checked in at the Embassy Suites.
That's right.
Tell us again why you were in the San Francisco area.
I was on business. I had plans to meet with Michael Epstein of Advanced Technologies. I wanted to talk to him about selling industrial robots to his company.
Now, let's hear the second half of your conversation with the hotel receptionist as you check in.
Okay.
That room is $120 a night.
Okay, fine. Can I use my credit card for that?
Yes, certainly, sir. Can I make a print of your card before we check you in?
Sure. There you are.
Okay, thank you. All right, fine. We're all set here, Mr. Blake, and I'll get the bellman right away. We'll get you to your room.
Oh, by the way, there's a chance I'll be staying one more day, so I might be leaving on Saturday. Is that okay?
Let me check. Well, sir, I'm afraid we're all booked up for Friday night, but something may open up. Can I let you know?
Okay. If you could let me know as soon as possible, I would appreciate it.
Yes, we can do that for you, sir. Okay, and here's your key, sir. I'll get the bellman. Bellman, front!
Let's talk a little about the conversation we just heard.
All right.
I see you asked if you could stay an extra night at the hotel.
That's right. Originally, I planned to stay 4 nights and to leave on Friday. When I arrived in San Francisco, I decided to stay an extra day so that I would have more time to meet with Mr. Epstein.
The receptionist said the hotel was booked up on Friday night. Were you worried that you wouldn't be able to get a room?
A little, but she said that something might open up.
Were you able to get a room?
Yes, I was. There were some cancellations at the hotel, and so I was able to stay until Saturday morning.
Thanks for talking with us again, Charles.
It was my pleasure.
Let's take a short break. Welcome back to Culture Tips. We're here again with our business language expert, Gary Engleton.
Hello, everyone.
Well, Gary, today we have an email about a very important and complicated subject.
Really?
Yes, here it is. When I stay in hotels in the United States, who should I tip and how much money should I give them?
Those are great questions. Tipping is very complicated. But let me give you some guidelines.
That would be very helpful.
We generally tip people in lower-paying jobs, like waiters. These people are paid by the hour, and they depend on tips for extra money. The people who work at the front desk are salaried workers and are paid more, so we don't tip them. We also don't tip managers.
Oh, and how much money should you give people when you tip them?
First, let's talk about the easy situations. In the hotel restaurant, you should give the waiter or waitress an extra 15 to 20% of your bill. And you should tip taxi drivers about 15% of the fare. If the taxi driver carries your bags, you should give a little more. For most other services, tip $2. For example, you should tip anyone who carries your bags to your room. That person is called the porter or bellman. If a porter carries a lot of luggage for you, tip more than $2.
And what about the maid?
$1 or $2 per day is good. You can leave the tip in your room when you check out.
Thank you, Gary. Your information has been really helpful. First, let's listen to a conversation between Mr. Myers and the bellman.
Oh, excuse me. I wonder if you could help me with my bags.
Sure, I'll be glad to help. Which floor is your room on?
Here's another short conversation between Mr. Myers and the desk clerk.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Could I possibly use your fax machine? I'd like to send a fax to my office.
Yes, of course. The fax machine is right over there, behind the desk.
Now let's listen to the third conversation, again between Mr. Myers and the desk clerk.
Front desk, may I help you?
Hello, this is Mr. Myers in room 212.
What can I do for you, Mr. Myers?
I lost a button, and I need to sew it back on. Do you happen to have a needle and some thread?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we do.
If you could send them up to my room, I'd appreciate it.
No problem. I'll have them sent up right away.
Thank you.
Gary提示.
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, everyone. Last week on Gary's Tips, we talked about requests. We're going to talk some more about requests today. We've already said that a polite way to make a request is to use can or could. For example, you might say, "Could you send a hamburger and an iced tea to room 219, please?" Today, we're going to talk about some even more polite ways to make a request. One way is to begin your request with, "I wonder if." Let's listen again to the first business dialogue. Listen for Mr. Myers saying, "I wonder if."
Oh, excuse me. I wonder if you could help me with my bags.
Sure, I'll be glad to help. Which floor is your room on?
Another polite way to begin a request is to say, could I possibly, or could you possibly? Let's listen to Mr. Myers again, asking to use the fax machine. He starts his request with, could I possibly?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Could I possibly use your fax machine? I'd like to send a fax to my office.
Yes, of course. The fax machine is right over there, behind the desk.
In today's business dialogues, we heard a third way to make a polite request. You can use the expression, I would appreciate it if. You can say, I would appreciate it, either at the beginning or at the end of your request. Let's hear Mr. Myers again as he asks for a needle and thread.
Do you happen to have a needle and some thread?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we do.
If you could send them up to my room, I'd appreciate it.
No problem. I'll have them sent up right away.
Thank you.
In today's dialogue, we also heard Mr. Blake use the expression, I'd appreciate it. Let's listen again.
Oh, by the way, there's a chance I'll be staying one more day, so I might be leaving on Saturday. Is that okay?
Let me check. Well, sir, I'm afraid we're all booked up for Friday night, but something may open up. Can I let you know?
Okay. If you could let me know as soon as possible, I would appreciate it.
Today you heard three different ways to make polite requests. In a business situation, it's good to be extra polite when you are asking for a favor. You will want to use these polite ways to make your requests. I hope today's tips were helpful.
In 我们重点学习拒绝别人的请求时应当使用的表达方式。首先是访谈时间。
Our guest today is Ms. Bailey. Ms. Bailey is a manager at Universal Bank. Welcome to the program, Ms. Bailey.
Thank you very much.
Today we're going to talk about money and business travel. We'll be talking about changing money and cashing checks. Ms. Bailey, does your bank handle foreign currency?
Oh, yes.People can exchange dollars for all the major foreign currencies at our bank. We also get a lot of foreign business travelers who want to change their money for dollars.
Can they get good exchange rates at your bank?
Well, yes. The rates are quite good, but there is a fee for exchanging currency.
Ms. Bailey, I have a recording of a conversation between a bank teller and a British customer. The customer changes some money and then tries to cash a personal check. The bank teller refuses to cash his check.Shall we listen to the conversation?
Sure, let's listen.
May I help you?
Yes, can I change British pounds for American dollars here?
Yes, certainly, sir. How much would you like to change?
£100, please.
Just one moment. That comes to $168.45. Here you are, sir.
Thank you very much.
Is there anything else I can help you with?
Yes, please. Could I cash this personal check from my London bank?
I'm afraid that isn't possible.Our policy is that we do not cash out-of-town checks.
It's very important that I cash this check.
Yes, I understand, but it's against bank policy.
Could I see the manager, please?
I'm sorry, but the manager, Mr. Grover, is out right now. The assistant manager, Ms. Grace, is in. Would that be all right?
Yes, that's fine, thank you.
Certainly. One moment, please.
下面我们继续对银行经理Bailey 女士进行访谈。
Welcome back to Functioning in Business. We're talking with Ms. Bailey, a manager at Universal Bank. As you heard, Ms. Bailey, the bank didn't cash the check for the man.
That's right. It's unusual for a bank to cash an out-of-town check, especially if the check is from a foreign bank.
Do you cash personal checks at your bank?
Yes, we do. But only if the check is from a local bank. We don't cash out-of-town checks.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Ms. Bailey.
It was my pleasure.
文化点滴。
Hello again. We're here with Gary Angleton, our business language expert. Welcome back to Culture Tips, Gary.
Thanks. It's wonderful to be back. So, what's our first email question?
Our first question is, do I need a credit card to travel in the United States?
Excellent question. I would say it's very important to have a credit card. First, having a credit card makes travel in the United States much more convenient.
In what way?
Well, for example, it's impossible to rent a car without a credit card. And credit cards are accepted almost everywhere. Finally, if you carry credit cards, you don't have to carry a lot of cash.
Those are all good points.
Just make sure you get a major credit card that is accepted worldwide.
Thanks, Gary. Here's another email question about paying for things. Should I use checks in the United States?
Well, there are two important types of checks, traveler's checks and personal checks. Traveler's checks are very convenient since they are accepted in most places. They are especially helpful if you want to buy something from a small shop that does not accept credit cards.
Oh, I see.
Personal checks, however, are much more difficult to use. Generally, merchants only accept personal checks from local banks. They don't accept out-of-town checks. So when you're traveling, it's better to use credit cards and traveler's checks than personal checks.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello there. Our function of the day is refusals. To refuse means to say that you can't or won't do something that a person asks you to do. In the business dialogue, you heard several examples of refusals. Let's replay parts of the conversation between the customer and the bank clerk. In the first example, the bank teller refuses to cash a personal check by saying, "I'm afraid that isn't possible." Let's listen.
Could I cash this personal check from my London bank?
I'm afraid that isn't possible. Our policy is that we do not cash out-of-town checks.
Using the phrase, "I'm afraid," is a very common way to begin a refusal. Some other examples are, "I'm afraid I can't help you," or "I'm afraid he's not here right now." Another way to begin a refusal is to say, "I'm sorry, but." Saying that you're sorry that you can't be more helpful is a very polite way to make a refusal. Here's an example from our bank dialogue.
Could I see the manager, please?
I'm sorry, but the manager, Mr. Grover, is out right now.
Usually, after you say you're sorry, you give a reason for your refusal. For example, if someone asks you to go to lunch and you're busy, you can say, "I'm sorry, but I have another engagement." If someone wants to speak to your colleague, but he's not there, you can say, "I'm sorry, but he's not here right now." Let's listen to one more polite way to make a refusal. In our example from the bank teller says, "Yes, I understand, but..." Let's listen.
It's very important that I cash this check.
Yes, I understand, but it's against bank policy.
Usually, you say, "Yes, I understand," when the other person is giving you reasons for a request and you want to show that you heard what the person said. Let's hear the example one more time.
It's very important that I cash this check.
Yes, I understand, but it's against bank policy.
There are some less polite ways to make a refusal. Let's hear some examples of things you shouldn't say.
Could I cash this personal check from my London bank?
No, that's impossible.
It's very important that I cash this check.
I told you we can't do that.
In this conversation, the bank teller is very rude to the customer. Remember, make your refusals as polite as possible by saying, "I'm afraid," and "I'm sorry." Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里，谢谢各位收听，我们下次再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
美国之音国际新闻。美国国务院周日证实，美国官员正在板门店与朝鲜官员会面，讨论美国总统川普与朝鲜领导人金正恩可能举行的峰会。美国国务院发言人希瑟诺尔特说，美国代表团正在板门店与朝鲜官员谈判，我们继续为总统和朝鲜领导人金正恩之间的会晤做准备。川普星期天发表推文称，我真的相信朝鲜很有潜力，有朝一日将成为一个拥有强大经济和金融的国家。金正恩赞同我这个看法，这将会发生。美国驻菲律宾大使和前驻韩国大使金城领导美国代表团从事准备性会谈。有报道说，预计这次会议持续到周二。川普上星期四宣布他正在退出预计6月12号在新加坡举行的峰会，但是在周五他表示峰会可能会恢复。星期五早上在前往海军官校参加毕业典礼之前，川普总统在白宫草坪上告诉记者，我们将看看会发生什么事，甚至可能还是在6月12号，我们正在跟他们讨论，他们很想要会面，我们也想要，我们将看看会发生什么事，大家都在玩手段。周六他说，关于潜在峰会的对话进行得非常好。韩国总统朴青瓦台说，朝鲜领导人金正恩跟朝鲜总统跟韩国总统文在寅会晤。青瓦台说，两位领导人就如何准备朝鲜与美国总统川普可能举行的峰会交换了意见。会议后，韩国总统文在寅情绪高昂，他在描述星期六与金正恩的这一次会晤时说，就像是朋友之间普通的接触。金正恩仍然致力于去核化，他说，对金正恩来说，不确定的不是他去核化的意愿，而是美国与在朝鲜敌对关系上的立场，以及美国是否能够真正确保他政权的安全。两艘美国海军舰只星期天在中国声称拥有主权的南中国海岛屿附近执行自由航行任务，中国当局称坚决反对美国这个行动。路透社援引来自美国官员的消息独家报道说，美军希金斯号导弹驱逐舰和安提坦号导弹巡洋舰当天驶入西沙群岛多个有争议的岛屿12海里以内，并在中建岛、永兴岛附近进行了机动训练。没有透露姓名的美军官员说，这次航行是几个月前就已经计划好的，但在美中两国贸易纠纷还没有化解，美国与中国合作解决朝鲜问题之际，这个被中国认为是挑战主权之举可能会再次触怒北京。本月中旬的卫星照片显示，中国在主权有争议的永兴岛上部署有防空导弹发射车和反舰导弹。中国稍早前还说，中国最先进的轰 6K 轰炸机在西沙群岛进行起降训练。中国加紧在南中国海的军事化行动，与此同时，抵抗中国军事化行为的各股力量正在增强，并可能在即将召开的年度香格里拉亚洲安全对话会上得以凝聚，形成一股更大的力量对抗北京。中国不顾2016年一个国际仲裁庭的判决，不顾国际社会的普遍批评，在主权有争议的南中国海岛礁上大规模填海造地，之后继续军事化行动。今年5月初，美国媒体引用情报人士的话说，中国首次在多国都宣称拥有主权的斯普拉特利群岛静悄悄地部署了反舰巡航导弹和地对空导弹。澳大利亚外长毕晓普星期一在河内访问，并与越南副总理兼外长范平民启动了澳越外交部长级会议的首轮会议。澳越外交部长级会议是两国政府首脑今年三月确定的越澳战略伙伴关系中的一个制度化沟通平台。毕晓普在启程开始这次访问前对越南通讯社表示，澳越两国将通过在防务与安全、执法、贸易、投资和经济发展等领域的合作，促进地区的经济发展、和平与安全。美国之音国际新闻。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目，因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
听众观众朋友们好，欢迎收听收看 VOA 卫视5月23号星期三的时事大家谈，我是许波，我们在美国之音华盛顿演播室为您现场报道。美国总统川普在会见到访的韩国总统文在寅时说，如果平壤不一次性放弃核武库，他与金正恩的峰会有可能不会如期举行。最近对美韩不断展现开明温和一面的金正恩呢，突然在美韩联合军演和遣返叛逃者问题上发难，扬言只有在满足其条件的前提下才能展开任何形式的对话和合作，给预定6月12号在新加坡举行的美朝峰会蒙上一层阴影。川普还指出，金正恩翻脸与发难呢，可能和不久前在大连二次拜会习近平有关。那么举世瞩目的美朝峰会还有戏吗？习近平对金正恩的影响究竟有多大？北京与平壤重归于好，如何影响朝鲜半岛局势演变的格局呢？今天我们时事大家谈邀请专家与听众观众及网友朋友们一同来探讨这些问题。在北京通过视频连线参加节目的是中国独立时事评论人吴强博士。吴博士您好。
主播您好，各位观众好。
在日本东京啊，通过电话连线加入访谈的是中美日比较政策研究所高级研究员杨中美博士。杨博士您好。
你好，主持人你好，大家好。
我们欢迎两位嘉宾，同时呢，我们欢迎听众观众朋友们拨打美国之音免费热线电话来参加我们节目，号码是400-1200-0551，400-1200-0551。另外，您还可以通过 VOA 卫视在 YouTube 上的网上直播收看，并加入我们的现场讨论，网址是 youtube.com/VOAChina。韩国总统文在寅他访问美国呢，无疑啊和韩国斡旋的这个美朝峰会有关。最近我们看到朝鲜突然翻脸，金正恩旧病复发，让人们怀疑呢文在寅似乎向美国夸大了这个金正恩契合的这样一个决心。那我首先请问东京的杨中美博士，您有这种感觉吗？
我觉得这个感觉有一点，但是不是那么强烈，主要是我觉得是金正恩的，因为这个文在寅呢是想避免这个和北朝鲜的军事对抗，想用自己的经济实力为主来主导和平统一，这样的话他就会成为一个历史上留下有名的一个大总统。但是呢我想呢他可能在川普面前会比较把这个自己揣摩的心意或者是一些行自己的考虑和风险的变成自己的语言讲给了川普听了，川普呢就是可能会受到一些影响，但是我想这不是主要的，主要的还是金正恩的这个变脸呢，我觉得还可能是主要是他这个国家的力量的其实是处于微弱的一方，他最面对强大的美国的川普的不按常理出牌的情况下，他没有信心，没有底气，所以呢他可能就是想寻找一种新的靠山和借口来测试美国的这个战术。
好的，那我来请教北京的吴强博士啊。就在文在寅呢他抵达美国的当天，我们看到朝鲜官方喉舌朝中社授权发表声明，表示绝不能把朝鲜的安全和繁荣寄托在美帝国主义身上，进一步表现出呢对这个川金会的这样一轻蔑。那您认为金正恩真的会轻易放来这个得来不易的这样与美国总统平起平坐一对一的这样一个谈判吗？吴博士。
我个人认为不太可能，如果错过了这次机会，那么可能朝鲜再没有机会找到一个川金会的这么一个峰会进行直接对话了，这是他第一次也可能是最后一次机会。现在我们看到的各种干扰只是在提高要价，增加困难，那至于什么要价，包括中国在背后角色，我们可以待会儿再谈。
好的，那我们看到美国方面呢，其实啊，对美韩高峰会的确呢有点心存疑虑啊。昨天美国副总统彭斯呢就表示说，川普总统随时准备放弃会见金正恩。我来请问杨博士， 副总统，美国副总统彭斯，他为什么这样说呢？
我觉得可能就是最近朝鲜北朝鲜的一些比较好像和以往以前稍微有不一样的比较强硬的一些言论和对策出来，比方说取消了南北方面的高级官员的会谈，那么另外呢，他也在这个同时呢也说可能要考虑对川金会谈的这个是不是能够如期举行表示一种否定的态度。所以说呢，我觉得呢，这个是美国对这个好像觉得北朝鲜呢是在打这个要价牌，所以呢，我觉得这个川普呢，凭他的一贯的作风，强势的作风呢，我觉得是不可能受这个竞争的这个影响的，所以呢，就会影响到他的决策层的一些考虑。那么彭斯我想就是在这种情况下的一种讲法嘛，就是说川普不会受到北朝鲜的戏弄，会有自己的一种决断的，我想是这种背景下面。
好的，
北朝鲜的一种比较一些不按常理出牌的要挟的。
嗯，那我来继续请教吴博士哈。有美国分析人士就认为呢，说美朝峰会所能达到的啊，就根据目前情况来看啊，根据目前这个朝鲜领导人金正恩他的所作所为，还有他所说的一些话呢，美朝峰会所能达成的最好的结果，也不过就是几年前美国同伊朗达成的这样一个核协议。这个核协议最近还被川普总统宣布作废了。所以美朝峰会呢，他们认为对于美国来说呢，其实是弊大于利，还不如没有。那吴博士，您怎么看这个问题啊？
我个人不太同意这种看法。毕竟朝鲜是不能跟伊朗这样一个地区性大国、宗教大国相提并论。伊核协定也是一个妥协的产物。现在看起来，伊核协定之后，也门、叙利亚都出现了动乱，伊朗的革命卫队利用伊核协定后获得的缓和的机会和资金，投入到也门和叙利亚当中，造成了地区的不稳定，所以这是川普要结束伊核协定的一个重要的原因，试图釜底抽薪，所以我们也看到，在对朝鲜的核政策问题上，美国的态度是 CVID， 也就是完全的，可观察的、不可逆的一个彻底的去核化的政策，这和伊核协定的情况是很大的不同。这种情况下，其实我相信朝鲜方面以及中国各方他们得到的信号也是清晰的，并没有过多讨价还价、回旋的余地。
嗯，
目前所看到的只是一些暂时的，对美国、对地区都是利大于弊的一种安排。
好的，那么现在呢，我们有大量的这个网友评论进来了啊，回应我们两位嘉宾，我给大家选读啊。首先是傅正辉，他说金正恩呢在川金会前的一些动作是在积累谈判的资本，无可厚非，毕竟朝方属于弱势，习近平主席呢应该也不可能赴会，以免失去主角的这样一个光环。但从悲观的角度上来看，川金会可能将是空欢喜一场，朝鲜要真正完全契合的可能性几乎不存在，美国也无法满足金正恩的需求，因此年底之前，美日等国将暴露在真正的核弹威胁之下，一场更大的半岛危机可能即将到来。嗯，我们现在接电话，听听我们的听众观众们在这个问题上都有什么想法。首先啊，是黑龙江的张先生，黑龙江张先生你好。
哎，嘉宾你好，刚才嘉宾说这个特朗普和金正恩会见呢，说没有戏，不是没有戏，是有戏。朝方是很有诚意的，朝方近期在几天对他的一些核设施的一些井啊，他可能要实行爆破，对吧？可能国内媒体报道，差不多25号，好多外国记者已经进入朝鲜。朝方对这次到在新加坡会晤啊，是抱一个真诚的、很有实意的一个会晤。美方呢，这方面呢，特别文在寅访美，文在寅在里是很辛苦也很劳累，首先要感谢文在寅。
好的，我们谢谢黑龙江的这位张先生。下一位，湖南的袁先生，袁先生你好。
嘉宾好。
嗯，
我说川这个 船金费物吧，实际上可能那个什么不费有很大的结果。
嗯，
这是美国跟主要是这个朝鲜跟美中国的关系也相当好，所以朝鲜就都听这个中国这个老大哥的，朝鲜就是中国的一个棋子。
嗯，
对，
好的，谢谢。谢谢湖南的袁先生。嗯，明白您的意思了。下一位是天津的王先生，王先生你好。
我觉得那个三胖应该会跟川普见面，
嗯，
但是绝对不可能有结果。谈判觉得最终还是川普还得来找中国。嗯，那个来找中国，你就得经贸问题跟台湾问题就得让步。2020年还是那个蔡英文当政，他就死定了。如果不是的话，2025年也得解决台湾问题。
好的，谢谢天津的，
就得给我让步。
嗯，好，谢谢天津的这位王先生。啊，刚才呢，我们一连啊接了几个电话，也啊读了一些网友的评论。我想请两位嘉宾综合回应一下我们刚才听众、观众和网友的这样一个评论，好吗？首先，日本的杨博士，
我觉得呢，这个网友们的一些评论呢，还担心的还是有的。
嗯，
就是呢，就是按照北朝鲜一贯的那个以前的做法呢，他往往在这个彻底的废核方面呢，是往往撒花招的。碰到川普这样一个，川普这次提出了一些要彻底废核的一些主张呢，可能是北朝鲜毫无退路了。比方说，他说要把北朝鲜所有的核弹要弄到美国去撤除，这样的话呢，实际上是没办法隐瞒了。那么在这种情况下，朝鲜呢感到了真正的恐慌，因为他失去了这种核弹的保护以后呢，他就心里没底了，觉得随时可能就会被美国的军事力量所压倒，所以呢他是很害怕的。所以呢，我想他是主动的去寻找中国，要去想请中国做他的保护人。我觉得这次到大连去访问中国呢，是金正恩的主动的去的。
嗯，
因为据我所知呢，习近平呢原来是在大连这个彭追岛去休养的，那边的空气比较好。那么是在原则上是一个休假期，他不会接受外国的贵来访的，被安排的。那是这个突然的北朝鲜的这个访问。那么这个从考虑到地缘政治的重要角度嘛，中国接待他了。在我想呢，这中国呢，在这个朝核问题上还是主张出台的，因为这对中国的安全形势比较有利，不会去做这种相反的事。那么我想主要呢，还是北朝鲜呢感到中国呢希望得到中国的一些保证，比方说分阶段的一个废核呢，希望有得到美国的善意的回应，经济的制裁的放松等等。但是呢，根据历史的教训呢，日本和像美国等不会再接受这样的一个分阶段的对应性的这个回应了。那么因为以前的事实证明，金正日的时候就是把这个东西都爆破掉了，这将来还是可以再建造起来的。
嗯，
所以说呢，这些撤出一些这个4年的场所什么等等的，实际上不表明什么，就是彻底的废核。他要搞核4年的武器的话，随时就可以恢复的，并没有什么了不起的。
嗯，
这个，所以呢，要彻底的不可逆转的废核呢，这个在一种检查的手段上呢，应当是有一个科学的可行的方法。
嗯，
那么在北朝鲜呢，实际上是很害怕的，他怕呢，一个是进入到美国的圈套里，成了里比亚的第二。另外一点呢，他也就是对失去核武器呢，还有内心很恐慌的。所以我想呢，在这种情况下，行就中国和俄国的保护呢，希望能够拖延时日，来测试美国的各方面的一个到底是怎么一个意图。
好的，
我觉得他还是有这种想。
嗯，好的。那吴强博士，您怎么回应刚才我们听众、观众还有网友们的这个评论和问题呢？
嗯，网友大部分意见我也听过，基本上符合国内现在公众的一个大致的看法。他们还是一个从朝鲜的传统的一个善变的立场来判断朝鲜今后和现在马上将要做的一些事情，指出朝鲜是一个善变的，这个金正恩一贯在利用 国际形势、国际格局的变化在出尔反尔，这可以理解。但确实，杨博士刚才谈的我很同意，朝鲜目前处于一个恐慌状态，他的可选择的他的选择非常少。向中国寻求帮助，这种情况下，这种情况下，我认为其实形势已经变化了，我们不应该用老的眼光，旧的方法来看待。现在确实是在朝鲜是在一个别无选择的情况下，只能束手就范。只不过现在是有一些新的要价。
好的，那么刚才我们两位嘉宾以及听众、观众和网友们都谈到了他们对这个即将在六月份原定在六月份举行的这个川金会的这个看法。那么综上所述啊，综上所述呢，我们应该如何看定啊？如何看待定于六月十二号在这个新加坡举行这个美朝峰会的命运呢？首先，我请问杨博士，您认为美朝峰会它还会如期举行吗？
实际上呢，这个美国和朝鲜、北朝鲜都是强烈的愿望想举行这样一个峰会。现在呢，就是在这种面前，这个即将举行当中有很多变数，大家都还是不安心，都在互相测试对方的一个意思。所以说呢，这峰会呢，或者很可能会延期点，但还是会举行。我觉得是因为双方都不想错失这样一个良机。
好的，那么吴博士，您的意见呢？您认为这个举世瞩目的美朝峰会还会不会如期举行呢？
我对这个峰会的前景也是抱乐观态度。我相信这次峰会可能也会如期的举行，非常大的概率。尽管可能还有新的一些干扰，但并不重要。
好的，那么现在呢，我们还有大量的这个网友评论啊进来了，我给大家呢选读一些啊，说中朝哥俩好。戏演完之后呢，川金会啊，这是李中办这位网友说，中朝啊哥俩好，这个戏演完之后，川金会就不得不看习近平的眼色了。习近平啊正在演21世纪的马克思的角色，一个一个的梦在推出试验中，川普的戏份会减少很多，因为金三胖腰杆硬了，会提出各种各样新的条件，成为大赢家，从此剧本回到了原点。对付共产党独裁者，川普可以学到很多东西，自由世界也从中学到了很多新的经验和教训。卢萨叶这位网友说，川普被设局欺骗了，川金会一定会想办法拖延，答应给你的2000亿美元呢肯定不会兑现，但肯定目前呢会假装配合，等中期选举一起发难，川普就百口莫辩，哈哈，有好戏看了。 LSSSZ 这位网友说，中国如果把朝鲜边境卡死，三胖不跪都得跪，所以川普在这个问题上呢，应该需要习的支持，只要习给金撑腰，金绝对可以和美国死磕到底，所以解决朝鲜的根本在于中国。个人觉得金不可能放弃核武，但是他在搞什么样的把戏确实值得回味。现在呢，我们的网友呢，他们的刚才我们选读这些评论集中起来，可以看到呢，大家都认为金正恩突然变脸呢是和这个习近平有关，和中国有关。那么我们下面就来探讨一下这个问题。这个很多人都这样说，说这个金正恩呢他发难，现在呢实际上是和他这个跟习近平两次会面有关。尤其是啊三个多星期前呢，金正恩他亲赴大连二次拜见习近平。那么我首先请问杨博士，您怎么看这个两者之间的这样一个关联呢？
我觉得呢，中国和美国如果呢在这个问题上取得共识一致的话呢，这将是北朝鲜是无路可走的。我觉得这个北朝鲜呢决定希望能够采取和平攻势来挽回自己的形象呢，和中国和美国呢在北朝鲜问题呢前阶段采取一致的制裁措施呢是有关的。尤其特别是美国在制裁上面还要加上军事攻击的威胁，他所以呢想到要保护自己的政治体制的延续呢，所以呢就被迫的同意了这样一个和谈的方式。但是呢现在呢真正面临的和谈的时候，他心中又没底，就建议他实际上是没有力量的。如果一旦去和了以后，他实际上讨价还价的筹码尽可做丧失了， 那么就是今后就成为一个砧板上的肉了。所以呢，他就是想希望在这次和谈之前呢，想取得美国中国的支持。如果中国在经济方面能够给他一个支持的话呢，他可能和美国就会比较会玩游戏。那么我想呢，中国呢，我觉得目前呢，从自己的安全形势来讲呢，他是不还是希望这个美朝和谈的，减轻自己的安全形势。因为中国的这个问题呢，内政问题还是为主的，和平崛起还是为主的。
嗯，
他不想打断自己和平崛起的进程，尤其是比方说美国打台湾牌的话呢，中国呢实际上是不希望有这样一个造成一个这样麻烦的。
嗯，
那么我想呢，这个在这种情况下呢，中国我想不会保持像以前的像哥俩华或者是把朝鲜作为血缘兄弟同盟军这样看，不会的。
好的，
以利益为重。
嗯，那么杨博士的这个主要的论点呢，就是说在美朝峰会这问题上呢，习近平会对金正恩有一个正面的影响，但是川普总统好像不这样看。川普总统昨天呢，他在会晤这个韩国总统文在寅的时候呢，他说这个金正恩突然变脸呢，可能跟习近平有关系。但是中国官方媒体呢，发表文章批驳那种把金正恩变脸与习近平挂钩的这个观点那不知道。我们看呢，他们中国媒体这样说，说金正恩历来呢就是独往独来，不受任何一方控制。吴博士，您怎么看这个问题？
这个是中国一贯的推脱责任的一个说辞，并不重要，因为中国在朝鲜问题上始终是既想表现是地区安全的一个主持人的角色，同时又避免自己承担过多的责任，现在仍然是如此，在背后在发挥作用。比如说这次文在寅访美以及川普的一些讲话，其实正在暴露中国和美国的一些立场，特别是中国和韩国立场的一些重大的差别，就是关于未来朝鲜半岛和平协定到底是三方还是四方签署问题，也就是是不是有中国参与签署将来的朝鲜半岛的和平协定的问题。这涉及到中国体面的来结束或者体面的介入到目前的朝鲜半岛去核化的进程当中，这个是目前一个最为关键影响未来朝美峰会的一个最关键的一个要价因素。虽然目前为止文在寅和川普的谈话基本上把这问题放到最后。
好的，那么现在大量的网友评论，我还是给大家选读一些，大家呢都集中现在的问题的焦点呢，看来是集中在金正恩与习近平的关系上了。首先，中国正义，中国正义这位网友说呢，说朝鲜核问题的核心就是中共，不压迫中共不会弃核，不会有和平，中共就是用北韩对抗美国，北韩呢也清楚中共是拿他们当枪使，如果美国适当给他一些好处，是可以把北韩拉过来的。子斋这位网友说，金三呢出尔反尔不是意外，金三遵守承诺也不会成为中共的兄弟。贾许他说三胖这个话题绕了一周又回到起点了，这个胖子变数大，现在就看川普够不够硬了。Steven Chang 这位网友说金三变脸显然是得到了中共的支持，倒霉的是大陆的民众用纳税人的血汗钱供养着连亲弟弟亲姑父都要斩尽杀绝的独裁者，对朝鲜民众是最大的伤害。这种最简单的政治游戏呢，相信川普能看得透。不过川普先生如果经常不能守信，恐怕也难以连任。好，今天时事大家谈的讨论呢，到这里就结束了。时间关系，不能一一接听听众观众的电话以及回答网友提出的所有问题。我们感谢杨中美和吴强两位博士参加我们的节目。时事大家谈是一个自由的论坛，嘉宾、听众、观众发表的都是个人观点，不代表美国之音。明天呢，时事大家谈关注热点话题：40年的管控，中国计划生育真的寿终正寝了吗？好，我是许波，我们下次节目再会。